Paul, and you're
One.
turn off Call of Duty now. We're starting the podcast.
Hold on, I gotta close my door. Be right back.
From you can't hear it.
I don't care. You're not playing Call of Duty on the podcast.
I can concentrate.
I don't care if you can concentrate. You're not playing Call of Duty in the podcast.
Says the guy who plays Minecraft during
yeah,
the podcast.
Minecraft
is different, and I'm not playing today.
There we go. There's another beginning for next week.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to First Strike Podcast, Episode 6.
Is it 6?
It's 6, because 5 is yet to be posted.
That's great news.
Maybe,
well,
maybe if you weren't so slow.
Maybe if your mom wasn't so slow, then...
That's terrible. You failed
you
already.
You would have been born faster.
That was clever.
Well, fuck you.
You're
today
genius.
On the podcast, we have a new member, my roommate, Mike. Say hi in a respectable manner.
What up?
I said respectable manner, not ghetto. We don't need two black members of the podcast. Anyways.
God, use a
face
half the people. Yeah.
We might have to edit that one out.
Oh, too late.
I can edit it later.
No, because
we also have with us today Nate.
Yes, you can, but we don't. We would know you won't.
Which, by the way, Nate, when I told my parents what school you went to, my parents asked, oh, is he the token one there?
No.
Yeah. And, Luciano.
Hello, everybody.
And Chris in a basement or something.
No, I'm not in a basement.
Chris, the reverb you're getting is ridiculous.
It's beautiful.
I'll explain what reverb means after the podcast. And well, Brian!
We're supposed to laugh.
Oh, hi.
Alright, and, so we're gonna start with what we've been playing. And the last topic is Medal of Honor. So, first we're gonna start with, Luciano, by order of random processes.
Okay. This week I've been playing more StarCraft 2.
Oh, what a surprise.
And League of Legends.
Oh,
is,
God.
How is League of
lost
Legends?
Respect for me.
Nate, he didn't say he liked it. He said he played it. You
playing
can play
it is
a
just
game.
As bad as liking it.
I played Halo.
That game is
that
terrible.
Mean, I know. Wait, Nate, I don't think you know what you just agreed to.
No, I was agreeing to how League of Legends is terrible, not Halo.
You just... Oh, I thought you were...
No, you have it twisted.
Well, I'm going to...
League of Legends, it's okay. It's not really anything
it's Dota,
to talk about.
Cash shop.
Yeah, it's
well,
Dota
we'll
with
about,
a cash shop. It could have a lot of improvements to it, like more than two maps.
Yeah, apparently it's outdoing World of Warcraft, which I highly believe.
Highly believe?
Yeah, because people will play crap any days.
Well, I mean, it is free to play, and free. All you need to do is go to their website and pick it up, and then you can buy extra stuff to play it, or you can play it to get the extra stuff for free.
General population has low standards. I raise
well, whatever,
yeah.
whatever's
yeah,
free,
Nate,
right?
You raise them.
Worked for
right.
Escape.
Yeah, it did. It works for most. It worked for most free to play MMOs before they started like fucking orgy spewing out of anywhere. You can go to almost any anime or game site now that's like even a blog, and you'll see 50 ads for free to play MMOs.
Yeah. That's true.
And most of them, I don't even know. I don't even know if any of them are good, because I don't want to waste my time playing them. It's like spam. You don't want to click on the spam ads.
Welcome to the 21st century.
The only ads that ever appealed to me were the Ebony ones, because one day I decided I was going... I thought it was a porn game,
wow.
So I decided I was going to sign Luciano up for it as a joke, because he would be like signed up for a porn game and he would get emails sent to his account, and then I realized they had nothing to do with that, so my entire joke got ruined.
Well, that misconception was based around their ads. But yeah.
They realized their ads weren't working, which actually is a great scheme. The company realized their ads weren't working with presenting their game, so instead they put porn, like, not porn, but like, etchy images up, and then they got a shitload of hits. So...
What do you expect?
Well, whatever works these days.
Whatever floats the boat?
Yeah, whatever floats the fucking boat, Chris. Is that all you've been playing, Luigi? League
of
Legends and StarCraft 2?
Yeah,
what
but...
What's surprised all you've been playing is RTSs and shit.
I wanted to talk about a new StarCraft 2 mod called Custom Game Type.
You get one of these of the week and that's it.
Okay, well, I only have one this week. It's called Sentry Scramble. Basically, you play as a sentry in a randomly generated map, and you run around avoiding fire, which follows you. It's kind of like a giant multiplayer game of Pac-Man.
That sounds fun.
And you can blink around the map and place force fields to trap fires or other sentries. And the first player to stay alive for 300 seconds over multiple rounds wins. I haven't won yet, though, because it's hard.
That's what she said. Next, by process of random selection. Fine, Mike, what have you been playing this week?
Me?
No, the other fucking Mike in the podcast.
Okay, well, as far as this week, I've just been playing Call of Duty and Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Oh, let's talk about Kirby Epic Yarn. Kirby Epic Yarn is amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Does the ground feel like pants?
The ground does feel like pants, which, by the way, that line made me laugh for a good 5 minutes straight, didn't it?
That and the whistle noise and the...
Oh my god, in the selection screen, there's this whistle noise, and I would go back and forth and giggle at it. Kirby Epic Yarn is like a little kid's game on acid, but it's just so much fun.
It's enjoyable.
It's fun, and it has a challenging part to it, too.
Well, it's only challenging because we keep... like grabbing each other, because there's this feature where you can lift the other character to like throw them to reach spots you couldn't normally do, and
kind of
only
like Little Big Planet.
Yeah, kind of like Little Big Planet, except it's different because like you don't need to use each other,
but you can, and it makes things easier. But the only reason it's difficult for me and Blake is because we keep just picking each other up and throwing each other at shit.
Right. However, there is a difficulty factor in finding everything, because there are some things that we haven't been able to find yet, and getting gold on every single level. And from what I've heard, the bonus levels and the bonus... like, it's a long game, evidently. There's 40 levels on each world, which is a lot for a Kirby game. There's, like, what, 5 or 6 main levels, and then the rest are all...
add-ons.
Add-ons. Yeah, and we haven't done any of the add-on paths yet. We're just kind of going through the game right now. But so far... it's really pretty. I love the graphics. It's really cool in that aspect. And I would definitely recommend it to people who like platformers and Nintendo fans, because it's definitely a good game.
It's a very casual game, though.
It is a very casual game, but it's fun. If you're looking for a hardcore, challenging platformer, then this obviously isn't it. But it's just, if you're looking for a nice, fun experience that's just kind of quirky and makes you smile... this game's perfect.
But I would think that this game is one that you're either going to rent or one that you're going to borrow from a friend. Because personally, me, myself, I wouldn't see my like throwing down $50 just to play this game that I'm going to be playing for 5 to 6 hours. Because you can go through the main story, me and you have been playing for a bit, and we can finish that in another hour or two. And we've been playing, take 4 or 5 hours.
But if you're a completionist, then you're going to get maybe 20 hours out of this from what I've read. But I would say... If you don't have $50 to throw at it, wait until it gets lowered this holiday season.
Or you can homebrew it.
We're not condoning homebrewing on the podcast, especially since the game makes you update, so it's really kind of hard to homebrew it, kind of. Anyways, wait, but that, never mind. So, I'll just talk about what else I've been playing, since I'm talking about me now. What a surprise. Last Window, The Secret of Cape West, I've still been working on, and the game's really good. And this is why. It's different than Hotel Duskroom 2 and 5, because Hotel Duskroom 2 and 5 is really this film noir detective story about Kyle Hyde in this mysterious environment and meeting these people. This one is him living his daily life, talking to normal people and fixing problems. But it's really cool, because and now that I'm more into it, it kind of shows someone... first of all, his entire system of how he does stuff is really controversial, and I like that kind of idea in game. It's really a psychological thing, and really personifying this character, and really adding... you don't see that with many point-and-click adventures, I think. It's really taking a look into the character, and really taking a look into the story. And while it may not be an epic mystery, it's still just kind of a nice turn in games, and something that I've really been looking for in games, and I think that... if you like point-and-click adventures, or if you're looking for, like, I don't know, a game that gets you engaged and is more like kind of a book in the psychological sense or something, it's really got that factor to it. And while it's not perfect, it's definitely a good step in gaming. And I'm really sad that that company went $1 billion of yen in bankruptcy. But yeah, is that, I think, oh, I also played the first level of Halo today, and that was interesting. I don't know yet. I have to play more, but it was interesting. And I think that's what I've been playing, besides Minecraft, but hey. Alright, Chris, what have you been playing, besides Infamous?
I've been playing Minecraft.
And? You can say Infamous.
Infamous, and I wouldn't say that I played anything else, really. But I did play a little bit of Halo Reach.
How's that going for you?
You think you played, or you know you played?
Well, I don't know if I played it this week, but I've played it since the last podcast.
So. All right, Brian, it's your turn.
All right, so as some of you may know, Medal of Honor came out this week, and I had already pre-ordered it. And so I played it. I enjoyed it, but I'm very disappointed in it, let's just say.
Why is that?
Because I did not like the ending. Like, it felt really abrupt at the end, like the ending.
Is it one of those endings where you think it's going to come with a sequel, or is it just Dunskis?
It can go either way, really. I think they might try to push out a sequel. But I was playing it, and left and right, it felt like this game is just a remake of other war games. Like, one of my friends from down the hall was watching me play, and we're like, oh, that was Modern Warfare, or that was from Halo, or that was from whatever game. And it felt like they used, like, cliches from, like, all these different games, and they did very little to be unique. I mean, the game focuses on Tier 1, like, the highest military, like, operators, like, you can't even know their names. And it tries to delve deep into, like, this kind of realism. But if they're trying to go for realism, why every time I get a headshot do I get this little marker? Like, that says I got a headshot. And then why in the Tier 1 mode, which is supposed to be the ultra hard, no HUD or anything like that, how come every time I kill someone with, like, a headshot or I stab them, like, a +2 or a +5 appear above their head as I get points?
Because that's how war works nowadays.
You have it
all based
because
on
there's
a system.
Because there's nanomachines inside your brain.
I have a serious question. Now, you said that you felt like it was copying off of Halo or Modern Warfare 2 or all these other war games. But do you necessarily feel that it's just the features it's copying? Or do you think that we're getting to this point with war games where we can't reinvent things, so we're getting closer and closer to real, but just that realism is being duplicated and not necessarily the structure of the game itself? Like, where do you stand on that with this?
Like,
feel like the reason it feels like we're borrowing things is because we're getting so close to, like, true realism? Or do you feel like we're borrowing, like, we're not borrowing things, we're just reduplicating what is as real as we can get? Do you know what I mean?
It felt like they're trying to be unique.
Mm-hmm.
But when they tried doing that, they just stole ideas from other games. Like, for example, the end of Call of Duty 4,
Okay. Which
is a game I love, all right? You're on the ground, you're wounded, and all you have is a pistol, and you have to kill people. You have to kill, what's his name, Zakayev's guards and Zakayev at the end of that game. In Modern Medal of Honor, it's slightly different, but the concept is the same. You're wounded, and you're getting dragged across the ground, and you're dazed, and you're just shooting people with a pistol. It's, like, not even difficult.
All right. Well, I mean, even with the copying off of real, I mean, even the realism thing. I mean, right now games are taking more of the realistic spin, mainly due to Call of Duty: Modern Warfare in 2007. But I mean, we still haven't covered a lot. From what I've seen in modern war games, even there's still a lot to be done in terms of the modern war universe.
Yeah, but how much more can you do until, like, you get to a point where you can't go further anymore?
Well, that's why I don't like realism games most of the time in general, because I like more of that that take of a fantasy world, and I think that's what appeals to many gamers, especially those that don't like realism. And that's why I think, well, that we see the reason I think Medal of Honor was developed the way it was, from the sound of it, is because EA wanted to cash cow. They wanted to make money. They know they're going to make money. They're making money on this game. We know that. And while we may see it as a bad game, there's going to be gamers out there more misinformed, more casual, that are still going to buy this title and see it as another modern war game and are going to get it because they enjoy that type of a game due to the Call of Duty experience. It's banking on a popular series with a popular franchise name.
Yeah, but you're telling me that, wait, I'm sorry, Brian, but you're telling me that you don't like games for the sense of, well, not you don't like games that delve too much into realism and that takes away from the fantasy of games, but then why is a game like Heavy Rain such a big hit?
Oh, I think,
because Heavy Rain is the
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you that type of realism is good. No, I'm just saying, I don't know, with my shooters, I've always tended to like a more non-realistic type of experience.
So like Borderlands.
Right. With my point-and-click adventures and with my adventure games, I've liked a more realistic experience because that's more about getting into the character. That's more about feeling who they are. And in my opinion, most war games that I have played haven't really tried to do that with the soldier experience. It's more about shooting people in a realistic environment.
You're
and
Mr. Macho soldier.
Yeah, you're Mr. Macho doing this stuff. And I mean, I think I'd prefer a war game if it delve into the soldier. If you're an average soldier fighting on the battlefield, I think that would be a really cool concept that they should work with. But overall, I like that more fantasy environment, just because of the fact that it's you're blowing stuff up, you're going to this fantasy world, and you're just having fun doing stuff instead of making you some macho man in a realistic world. It just doesn't appeal to me. But like something like Heavy Rain, that totally appeals to me because it's getting into the person, it's getting into the entire almost psychology of a person. It's going more into that kind of realism that I love in a point-and-click adventure.
So if in your shooters, you're telling me you like the mystical and the not the realm, what is it specifically about Halo that you hate so much? Because that's the exact definition of what you said that you like in a shooter, as opposed to an adventure where you like the realism, because Halo is not realism at all. You're fighting...
The main thing I don't like about Halo is, first off, I've never fully played a Halo game.
Okay.
But the main thing that I don't like about it is the cultural shift that it had on the majority of gamers and how it made them almost blind to other types of shooters, and how it in my opinion, it really narrowed people's vision on what good games and good shooters are.
Do you blame the game for that?
I'm not blaming the game for that. I just don't like how much culture focuses on it. I'm playing through the game right now. So far, I've enjoyed the first Halo, but I just don't like the entire cultural phenomena that surrounded it, exactly.
I mean, I can understand. I definitely understand what you're saying about how people are blind to things, but you can't necessarily blame Halo for that, because it obviously had such a great reception. I mean, where they've taken it now is completely different, because people are like, oh,
right. That's what I really hate about it.
But
from what I've heard, Halo 1, and what I'm playing right now, Halo 1's a great game, and it's a great game and had a great effect on the industry. But now they're milking it, and people still are just following that milking of it, and I feel like it blinds the industry in some sense. And
I have to disagree.
Why do you disagree, Nate? Because it got more people in the game?
I think waypoints.
No, not because it got more people in the game, but because it's, like I said, it's set a standard for console shooters. It's, a lot of people don't like Halo because the fact that some people just rate Halo as best game because it's Halo. I agree with that, but still. So there are some better things about Halo because they try pushing the envelope. They try to add more features. You weren't having things like Forge and theater mode in every game coming out on a console. That was like a PC thing.
Right, Bungie, I understand.
Bungie's trying to push envelope, but because they keep the same basic shooter foundations, people feel like they haven't evolved.
Yeah, and I hate milking a franchise. I'll bash any series for the milking of franchise.
I wouldn't consider the Halo series milked yet. When Waypoint takes over, I feel it's going to be, like, milked.
Well, because this is, you got to understand, this is a game for this generation now.
Yeah.
That most of the kids that play this when they were in our age range played this when they were in middle school. This is eighth grade we're talking about, when Halo came out. And
actually, like, fifth, I think.
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. And it's grown, and I don't want to say emotionally, because there's no emotional... I mean, there's some parts you can argue whether or not you can be emotionally attached to it, but there's such an...
Nostalgia.
Such a nostalgia factor to it that it's not necessarily that they're milking it. It's just a game that people are very comfortable with because they played it when they were younger, and they've never... failed to disappoint their fans, and that's something you have to applaud.
Right, and that's another thing that another reason I never got into Halo series, because I never played it when it originally came out. I don't have that nostalgia factor with the game. That's why I'm so fond of a lot of Nintendo games a lot of the time, because I do have that nostalgia factor. And believe me, Nintendo melts their franchises, but I keep buying it because of the nostalgia factor. So I totally agree.
How many times has the princess been in another castle now?
Quite a few.
Way more than
sleeping around.
Way more than Halo. I totally agree. I totally,
way more than
I totally agree. However, Mario, I think, has been redesigned, but it's been taken to a different level a lot more times than Halo has.
But
Mario's also been out for what, 25
Mario's
years?
Mario's been out for 25 years, which is our topic later. But I think we should move on to, well, who hasn't talked about what they've been playing?
Hi, guys.
Okay, Nate, you can go.
How you guys doing?
What's up?
What I've been playing. Play Halo Reach. Some Tekken 6. And that's about it.
Tekken 6 is out?
Tekken 6 has been out for a while.
I don't know about fighters. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah. I also played some Pokemon Stadium. That was a kick.
Stadium 1?
Yes.
Oh, man, the graphics on that.
Hey.
Have you ever played the original stadium? Not the one that came out of America.
I know you're talking about that one game. That was terrible. I've actually played it.
That one has the worst graphics, and it's got, like, 32 Pokemon in it.
Exactly. But yeah, that was a nostalgia trip. And not much. There's a game I'm playing I can't really talk about for a couple more weeks, but when that time comes, I will talk my mouth out about it.
Oh, are you talking about that...
No, not that.
Oh, okay. All right, so moving on to what Luciano's going to probably explode about. Final Fantasy 14.
Nah.
So let's give a little prelude to this. Final Fantasy 14 was pretty well hyped because it looks really pretty. They announced it at E3 2009 when I was there. And, which was really funny, because basically it went like this, they showed the Final Fantasy 13 trailer, and they were like, and here's a Final Fantasy that's going to be on the PS3, and it's coming this year, and, I thought they were going to talk about Versus 13, which we're still hearing jack shit about, even though there's a trailer at TGS, and they go, Final Fantasy 14, and everybody in the audience goes, what, at the same time, and everyone has a blank look on their face, because they had no idea where Squid really did that. And then they showed the video and it was online and everyone was like, oh. So, Final Fantasy 14, it came out and it's getting absolutely awful scores and reviews. And I would say it's one of the biggest disappointments in MMO of all time. It's the worst Final Fantasy of all time by far. It's probably one of Squid Enix's biggest flops. And yet it's one of their bigger titles that I would say came out this year. And it's a pretty big disappointment because we don't see games like this that often. That flop so bad. So Luciano isn't here. So
I guess until he gets here I can talk a little bit about it.
You can talk a little bit about it, because you play a lot of MMOs.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It is. Honestly, I played a little bit of the alpha when it first started, and alpha wasn't bad. I could totally see any improvements, so I couldn't wait for the beta. And when I finally got into the beta, I was like, they haven't fixed anything. They've just made it a power horse to run on any computer, which is the truth. The game requires at least like a 9200. So anybody using a basic laptop probably can't run the thing. It's not really like majority like population friendly. It's very.
I think the best way to describe what's so broken about this game is using this example that I was watching this one reviewer's thing about the fishing system. And first of all, you can choose classes in the game that are totally normal people, so you can be a fisherman or like a gardener or whatever, which is really dumb because you're trying to save the world. And you can't, I mean, I guess you can kind of be a fisherman that saves the world because you can do multi-classing, but being those classes is kind of useless. It's like having a job, and they make an entire class system. But anyways, so basically the guy gets into the game, and he walks around for a bit, and he's totally confused because you have to activate a quest and inn and then go out to a stone, which is outside of the city, in order to actually get the quest after you've activated it, which is a thing in and of itself, and then you have to use the quest, and your first fishing quest goes like this. You have 30 minutes to go get 3 fish, which you know is 248 like yards away, and you have to figure out how to get there, because they tell you it's like north or something, but you have to figure it out on the map, basically, and so you have to go over there. So he goes over there, and basically he's fishing off a cliff to a lake below. And there's a timing system, and there's no tutorial to how to do anything. So he goes up, and he figures out you have to press a little question mark icon at the top that tells you to, like, set your rod in. So he sets his rod in, and he's given the option to set his depth of his fishing rod. However, it has no explanation of what that really means, how that affects the game at all, or how that affects fishing. So he randomly sets the depth and goes to wait. And he waits, and that goes on for a couple seconds, maybe like 15, and then it says, a fish nibbled. So then he decides to wait again, but then the fish goes away. So then he has to recast his rod and do all that again, and he basically does that a few times, and eventually a fish bites, and there's also another option called jig it, so you move it around a bit. And they don't really explain what any of that really does, or what effect it has, or what any of the meaning is. And eventually he figures out that there's this little cursor that had appeared, and you have to, it's kind of like a mini game where the ball goes back and forth and you have to click where you want it, but it doesn't really explain how you use that system, and all it does is go back and forth, and it's not hitting it in the same spot twice, because that doesn't move it, so you kind of have to move it back and forth, and this is all without a tutorial, by the way. So this is going over the process of 10 minutes, trying to figure out how to catch one fish without any tutorial. And it's going through an entire elaborate menu system. And the best part is there's nothing that appears on the main screen. It's almost like a Unix prompt because there's this little, like, box on the left-hand corner that's always, like, the chat thing. And all the text for everything is appearing in that. So it's a bunch of text appearing about everything that's going on. And eventually he basically catches the fish, and it takes him about, like, 20 minutes. So the first fisherman's task had no tutorial. It was the first entire real quest in the game, and it took 20 minutes on a time-based system to figure out where to go with no waypoints. It's broken. Another feature in the game, that this is my favorite, there's no auction house. Which in an MMO is weird, because there always should be an auction house. And instead, they have players put up what they want to sell. But of course, you can't search for it. There is no search box. You have to go to each and every player that is in that area and find out what they want to sell you, or what they have to sell. So you have to basically spend hours to find that one item you're looking for, while a search box could fix all of that. Another factor of the game that's fun is that the graphics, they're really pretty. However, the graphics are a lot of times copy and pasted over again, literally, and half of it is taken from Final Fantasy XI. Not half of it, but a good amount. Luciano, do you want to comment more about... We already covered the broken auction house that doesn't exist. I talked about the entire fishing thing and how tedious that was without a tutorial, and I talked about the graphics.
It would have been tedious with a tutorial, too.
Did you see that fishing thing?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Alright, if you want a good idea of what Final Fantasy XIV is like, you can see a 15-part video by Blue Zephos, spelled X E.
It's Yogcast.
Or you can just walk outside your room, look out the window for about 10 minutes, and you got the same experience.
And the other fun part is it takes you like a half hour to walk anywhere in the game.
Yeah.
And the teleport, my other favorite part, you can teleport places. However, you have to use resources to do it that take long periods of time to refresh.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the entire idea of teleporting somewhere means you get to like teleport once and that's it.
The idea is to get you to explore the world so that you don't teleport everywhere. But you want to teleport everywhere because the game is so boring.
And there's nothing to explore. Oh, my other favorite feature. There's just so many of my favorite features. In order to add friends, you cannot... Even though this is an MMO, a massive experience, the only way you can add friends is by finding them in the world, standing next to them, and then saying, add to friends.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it anywhere in the world. You have to stand near them.
I think they changed that so that now that only applies to adding party members. But still, okay. it's still a completely ridiculous feature.
So we can come to agreement this game is terrible.
I don't know, and I don't know how they released it like this. Like really, Square Enix isn't some shit company.
I'll tell you how they released it like this, because they made it for the PS3, and the PS3 version won't be for sale for another, 4 months?
I'll check. I think it's about that.
I think it's about 6. They said early 2011, but...
Yeah,
exactly.
That's quarter 1 to 2.
Yeah, it's probably getting pushed to quarter 3.
Yeah, especially with what they're doing now. And then everyone's complaining, so Square Enix's response is, oh shit, well, we'll give you an extra month of the demo.
Yeah, I mean, they made the...
March, it's coming out in March.
That's what it was coming out.
They made the controls... It's not like they made two separate versions and they finished the PC version faster. They made one version and released the version 6 months from release on the PC and expected people to be okay with it.
I think even when it's released on the PS3, though, it's still going to be a shit game unless they fix everything. And I think the max score this game's going to get now, even on the PS3 release, is going to be a 7.
Probably. Max score is a 7, which is still better than the 4s and 5s it's getting right now.
And games getting 4 and 5s, especially games that are supposed to be AAA releases, is almost unheard of.
Yeah, and, I mean, no amount of updates will give this game an 8 or a 9, because the errors are in fundamental game design. Like, making the map so huge that you need to walk for half an hour to get to the first objective, or retracing your steps around a humongous city that has merchants every 10 minutes.
Or no waypoints.
Well, you can do without waypoints if you give people an accurate direction of where to go. And people
right, but
say,
they don't give you an accurate direction of where to go.
Yes, they do give you map coordinates, okay? But
the map that's been copy and pasted 10 times over.
Yeah, but I mean, for example, in the cities, they say go to the Fisherman's Guild. This is part of the main quest, remember that, Blake?
Yeah.
They say go to the Fisherman's Guild. You go there. There are a bunch of NPCs everywhere. You don't know which one to talk to. Because, yes, you don't need them to have the green exclamation mark over their head.
But it helps, especially in the... There should be a tutorial mode or something.
Write in the quest log, see... person at the Fisherman's Guild, or give them a special hat or something that implies they're the leader there.
It's just broken, and it's hilarious, frankly. I mean, I don't know how a company does this, though, really. I mean, the last game that flopped this bag that bad that was supposed to be AAA that I can think of is Sonic the Hedgehog 2006. But, I mean, no one really expected that to be that awesome in the first place. This at least had some fan base behind it.
No, remember Too Human?
Oh, Too Human. Yeah, we're not talking about that. But that didn't even flop this bad, did it? No, Too Human still got 6.8 average. That's not the worst thing ever. That means it's not broken, it was just bad. That game took, 10 years to come out?
Yep.
Yeah, this game took... Well, I guess that's one more justification on this one. They probably developed this one in a year, and it's an MMO.
They thought they could ride on the coattails of 11, which weren't very long coattails to start off with.
I mean, people liked 11, though, and I can see why people would like 11, and it's kind of immersive, and it's not too tedious. Final Fantasy 14 is a downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like taking... It's like Super Mario Bros. 1, Super Mario Bros. 2 compared to Super Mario Bros. 1, and in Super Mario Bros. 2, there's no jumping anymore.
But guess what? They're going to make Final Fantasy 14 2, and they'll still have all the problems.
Yeah, they're going to make Final Fantasy 14 2, and everyone's going to forget about 14. Yeah, that's going to make the problem go away. It's going to come out with Versus 13, by the way, and Metroid Dread.
Final Fantasy Duke, 14 and, 2 is the
and
PS3
Duke,
version.
And Duke Nukem Forever.
No, Duke Nukem Forever is Duke Nukem Forever.
I wonder if that's what we're going
to do. Which, by the way, I have a beta key to.
Me too.
Awesome.
We'll give you a review of that when it comes out.
Hey, anybody who owns Borderlands on Steam, you got a beta key.
Oh, hey, Luciano, we have beta keys.
Oh, okay.
All right, so now that we've bash the shit out of Final Fantasy 14.
In summary, Final Fantasy 14 is shit. Don't buy it. It's gonna get patched. It's not gonna get fixed.
Just wait
for something better.
Let's just. Yeah. I bet it's gonna turn out like next E3 and Final Fantasy 14 Online we're announcing today, and we're gonna be like, what? And they're gonna be like, we don't know what you were talking about. The other one was made by some weird third party, and we're gonna be like, okay, Square Enix.
Dude, they're not that dumb.
I don't know. That would be funny if they did that. I would almost respect them.
Again, 14-2.
14-2. Yeah, because 10-2 worked out so well.
Or they just announced Final Fantasy 16, the next installment. Keep going like nothing happened.
Because they have to skip 15?
Well, 15 will not be the MMO version. 16 will be.
Oh, okay.
Hey, can I just get rid of the goddamn number?
Yeah, I know. I actually... All right, moving on. We're gonna talk about Dota 2 because Valve bought Dota.
Dota
Yay?
1.
What?
Now it's Dota 2.
Valve bought Dota, and Dota 2 is now gonna come out.
Yeah.
Well, Valve bought the people who were upkeeping Dota, even though they weren't they bought Ice Frog, who was hired by Valve, and he's one of the lead developers behind the Dota games, even though he's not the one who invented it. And it's this entire thing, and evidently he's unstable, so they don't know what's going on. And so Valve got Dota 2, and Valve's gonna make Dota 2. Luciano, you and Nate both have played Dota. I haven't played Dota.
I've played Dota 2.
Okay, you all talk about Dota.
Yeah, I'd say just play League of Legends, but I haven't seen what they've actually got. If you want to,
I bet Valve's gonna make a better game than League of Legends.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what
come
I'm
on.
Hoping.
Valve is one of my favorite companies.
Valve's one of my favorite. I love Valve.
Valve
my
is my favorite
three?
Company.
Well, I'm not doubting the game, the prowess of Valve. I'm just saying that there's only so much you can do with Dota before it becomes a completely different game. That's
Luciano,
not what people.
People
want.
Said that about StarCraft.
Yep.
Yeah, and...
They didn't do anything, and it worked out great, and they're selling millions, and they're getting great scores, and everyone's saying the campaign is genius.
That's also
yeah,
10 years
but
later.
But if you had a version of StarCraft that was free, would you play that or buy StarCraft 2?
How do we know Dota 2 is not
How many
be
people
free?
Know about League of Legends in the casual market?
I don't.
The casual market?
Almost
not
no
many.
One.
Exactly. So the main people that Dota 2 is going to be, a lot more people know about Valve than know about League of Legends. So therefore, I think it's going to do fine.
A lot more people know about Dota than League of Legends.
But who's saying Dota 2 is going to be a pay-for game? I mean, Alien Swarm.
Oh yeah, they could just release it. Alien Swarm. Alien Swarm's cool.
I mean, it was a nice little treat that came out of nowhere. Should have got another campaign by now. Because it pretty much died after like the first month.
Unlike Neo Tokyo.
Neo Tokyo, that was their own goddamn fault.
I know, but we still love that game, and we play on that server and go no clipping.
You mean you go no clipping and kill me? I still beat you, even though you were cheating.
Bullshit. Neo Tokyo Tuesdays, everybody. Neo Tokyo Tuesdays.
No, just because you made it rhyme, I say no.
That doesn't rhyme. Neo Dogio Tuesdays does not rhyme. What? Guess your education really was lesser.
Yeah, we went to the same school. That makes last names.
Yeah, I know. I had two AP classes.
AP means everything.
Even though I'm against the AP system, but that's just me. All right.
Hypocrite.
So.
Motherfucking hypocrite, hypocrite.
I say all right so a lot. I think, is that everything about, who wants to explain, just someone explain what Dota is to those who don't know.
Okay, Dota was originally a Warcraft.
Okay.
Dota was originally a Warcraft 3 mod called Defense of the Ancients. You selected a hero from a menu, and your objective was to destroy the enemy base. Both bases would periodically send out units that would try to destroy each other, but if left alone, it would be a stalemate. The objective of your heroes was to turn the battle in your favor and defeat the enemy like that. It gained massive popularity, and it's still
especially
being played
after the song Dota.
Yeah.
I'm so do. Yeah. All right. So it looks interesting. I think it'll be fine. I trust them. Who
Go
doesn't trust Valve.
Valve
at this? Valve has never done anything to disappoint us. In fact, they just make us happier.
Where's my episode 3?
That is true.
Don't worry.
Valve doesn't do much to make us upset. They just suck at it. Come on, they suck at episodic content.
At this point, they should just release Half-Life 3.
Episode 3 is Half-Life 3.
Yeah, they'll just be like, hey guys, we decided that since we suck so much at episodic content, we'd release this entire game instead of an episode with updates. Yeah.
And hats.
Can't just wait for level 3.
Hey man, it's the hat of the week. The top hat of the week.
I like the hats, even though none of us can get them. Anyways, let's move on to...
That's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, because of you, Guido. Windows...
That all items in the TF2, that were found before the update came are now vintage.
Yeah, they mentioned that in the update.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now we're all vintage people, because I feel so, like, fucking old playing this game. Because now you see all these kids running around, like, the updates have been there all along, and we're using the vintage items, and we have the silver and gold medals between us, and they all are using these newfangled bronze ones.
I actually still have a bronze medal.
Why do you have a bronze medal?
Because I only got the
game. Oh, you only got it later, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, Luciano, you've been playing...
Update.
Yeah, yeah, so...
All vintage weapons.
Yeah, I've got all vintage weapons. So, these kids these days. Anyways,
I just find it funny that you're eating a vintage sandwich. I mean...
That's an old sandwich.
Yeah, it's been sitting there.
Yeah, yeah, and
it's
that
been
vintage,
cryogen for the
that
past
vintage
decade.
Bonk must have not been very bubbly anymore.
No, yeah. it's been in vintage cringe.
They should make all the vintage weapons do half damage.
What's worse, the vintage Jurati.
Ooh.
Oh,
Christ, it's all steel.
At least it's what's the word I'm looking for? Sterilized. All right. So we're gonna talk about the Windows 7 phone. Basically, there's a new phone called the Windows 7. Well, it's an operating system for a phone series, and it's the Windows 7 phone operating system thing. And basically, this is Microsoft's attempt to really, they've had Windows phones before, but I mean, in all honesty, I don't think they really took off with the mass public. So I think this is really Microsoft's attempt to get into the mobile market against Google's Droid and Apple's iPhone.
And it might work, especially since it has
it might
Xbox Live integrated.
It definitely is their attempt to get in, but you do realize if you've looked at the operating system or looked at videos, it's essentially running off of the operating system that they have on the Zune HD. And I don't know how familiar you are with that, but it's personally, from my experience, it wasn't very user-friendly to fool around with. But their whole ploy is that they're trying to integrate this thing so heavily with social networks that it'll take off right away.
That's what I've seen,
yeah,
too.
Not necessarily because of the content or the apps, because you got to think, Microsoft's creating or trying to push their app market more now more so because they have it for the Zune, but now they have to push it more for a phone, a mobile device. So they're trying to push developers for that. So they're banking on the idea that people will go for the social integration that they have right off the bat to be able to save this thing. Because otherwise, it's just another smartphone where there's Droids and iPhones and Blackberries, and it's not really going to reach that unless it can build up a heavy app market. Now, that's just my opinion, because...
Well, I think they also are trying to build up, not the app market specifically, but the game market, because they are trying to... Well, they're porting Xbox Live titles and having their own titles on the Windows 7 phone to kind of push the gaming focus, too. And a lot of what I've heard so far is that, they want to also push the games. And yet, while I agree, they are trying to push this social networking thing with the phone. I think a lot of what at least the game industry is talking about is what effect will this have on the game industry. So I'm going to talk real quick about some of the games that are coming to the phone. Some of the big ones: Need for Speed Undercover, another Need for Speed racing game on a phone. Crackdown 2, Project Sunburst, Rocket Riot, Guitar Hero 5, The Sims 3, Ilo Milo, and Bejeweled Live. And then also a game called Bye Bye Brain.
What's that one about?
I think
it's about your brain leaving you because you bought the
Windows
7.
It's the one that I've heard the most positive hype about so far. It's a 3D tower defense game, and
I love tower defense.
Right, but I mean, I think what we're seeing from them still. I mean, I can read down this list here. I'll even post this list of all the games coming out for you guys. But for the most part, it's just these kind of shovelware flash games that's dominates the iPhone and iTouch market. Like, Nate, you always talk
about... There are no flash games on the iPhone, just saying.
Yeah.
I didn't mean flash games. I just mean, They're flash-esque in that they're simple little games that don't have much depth to them. And, like, Nate, you always talk about that, and the only real one that you've really liked that much is Chaos Rings. And...
It's a rarity for,
Right, it's a
game.
Rarity for an iPhone.
Be something that I've probably played. There's a couple exceptions. There are a couple great app games out there that I haven't seen on PC, but for the most part, it truly is like you go onto a flash game site and play these games for free, and not have to pay 99 cents for a game. That yes, you have it on the go, but I could do the same thing if I had flash on my phone.
Right, and I mean, if you look at this list, you have Bejeweled Live, Assassin's Creed, that will be dumb. Maybe
I'm
Castlevania will be cool. What?
Assassin's Creed
on a phone?
Maybe. I actually heard that it's supposed to be good.
Assassin's Creed on a phone supposed to be good?
That's what I've been hearing, actually, because I do like Assassin's Creed. I have played through all of them.
I have too, but have you ever seen any of the portable ones?
The DS one?
They always suck.
I know the DS one was a complete failure, but...
And the PSP one.
What I heard, this one's supposed to have some kind of strong link with the...
Brotherhood?
Yeah.
Right, but I still think it's going to just overall be a meh game. There's no AAA titles. There's no incentive to really wanting to get any of these games on the Windows 7 phone. And I think any talk right now of the Windows 7 phone making a dent in the market is just kind of
Halo
not
1
existent.
On Windows 7 phone.
Yeah, I don't even think that will.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. How? I mean,
Halo 1 with online play anywhere. Okay.
How much can you really push a phone to be a game device?
Well, I mean.
Think about the iPhone.
Look at the iPhone. A lot of people use as a game device. I see people playing corny little games on the iPhone now, and I do think there's a there's a market out there, but I can see in-depth games being on kind of an iPhone device. I mean, people don't think of it as a game system, but I mean, it's a multi-touch screen with an accelerometer. Essentially, it's a one-screen DS with a few added features in. You could most certainly make an entire full game out of that.
Well, I've played. I do have what's that one shooter sci-fi game? I can't think of the name right now. Nova. As a first-person shooter, Nova worked. I mean, the controls, you can't have extremely like accurate, precise controls when you have a virtual D-pad on a touchscreen. So, I mean,
gyroscope
you're not gonna...
would fix that.
But I did play that, and I did like it. But and I had there is a multiplayer component to it too. And it was a really in-depth, thought-out game, and I really liked it. But I can't really say that it was worth my money to buy it. I mean, I liked it, but you can't if the, you can only push a game so far on a mobile device. I mean, you can come out with like Plants vs. Zombies. I play that game for hours upon hours on my iPhone. I love that game. It's ridiculous, but you can't.
Right.
There's,
and I...
but you can only come up with so many different ways to approach a game before you start.
I kind of agree with you on that, too, and I think that, and I mean, the reason I bring this up is there's been a lot of talk in the industry lately about maybe the iPhone or the Windows 7 phone even, even competing with the DS or PSP, and we've heard people from Apple, and I think even Microsoft, saying that mobile gaming is going to overtake portable handheld game specific device, and I truly think at this point in time that's just not possible. And I also think that people just are not interested in.
I have to disagree wholly, because what are you most likely to carry on you, your phone or your DS?
I carry my phone on me, but I play my games on my phone.
You're, let's say, not the biggest gamer. You like your casual Mario, whatever. And you have to own a DS, but you don't take it everywhere with you. But you take yourself.
Well, no, I agree with you on the casual market side of things. I'm saying for the hardcore gamer.
But the hardcore gamer is the loud minority.
Yeah, I know, but I like being the loud minority.
So we may speak our mind, but that doesn't mean we're totally like just because we say that handheld games are never going to die. It doesn't mean they're not going to die. I can honestly show how much people have iPod touches who don't own a DS or PSP.
Are they I know. And it's the casual people who is just I still think gaming I think that is gonna be a split of is gonna be these casual little niche titles that are just kind of cool to play with for a while, and they're like Angry Birds, for instance, and there's a couple hours of gameplay, but there's no real depth to it, and it's more of a little casual thing. But I still see it as just being this entire dividing factor between. I don't think that the iPod. I really don't think the iPod is still going to go and infringe on the DS's market. I think they're just going to kind of be side by side, not really competing. That's just my opinion.
At the rate that the 3DS is priced at, I really think people would rather buy an iPod Touch. Because
right, but
you get your music, you get your videos, you get your. Most people have iTunes. Most people have iPod. They're more likely going to buy. It's more multimedia than just games. As something that's mainly focused on games, yes, Nintendo DS should blow the iPod, the Windows 7 phone, Android out of the water. But as a multimedia device, most people would rather have an iPod Touch, an iPhone, a Droid, whatever, instead of having a 3DS, because they can call their friends. They can play games. They can listen to music, and not have to worry about it because it's all in one little handheld device. So,
and Nintendo's trying to get onto that a bit, but I understand what you're saying. They're not going to get that phone aspect in there. All the music organization for the for the DS even is still done on a sort of SD card. You put it in their level, which I prefer, but that's just me. And I agree with you. I just see it as just, I think we'll have to wait and see, and I think it's just going to be kind of the side-by-side kind of competitor. And until, I think there's going to have to be a shift before there's really any effect on the DS. Because, Nate, even though the DS sales might get a bit hurt in America, I mean, Japan sales for the DS, I can assure you will not go down.
Obviously.
And also... The DS still is an extremely popular console. It's sold more than any other console in history, hasn't it?
I think so. Or is that Pokemon? I don't remember.
No, DS has sold more than anything in history, I think. I'll look this up now.
But
I still think...
I see what you're coming from, but...
And the price will go down eventually.
What has to happen first is people who
don't really play video games that often need to become more less casual, more like moderate gamers mm-hmm. for something like the 3DS to really take off. Like
132.04 million DSs, all of them included, shipped worldwide.
But think about how many years that took.
2004-6. And the PS2 has sold, because that was the other one, 145.4 million. So the DS, the PS2 is still winning.
Yeah, but like I said,
the DS is still up there with it.
But yeah, those two handheld and console, they hit like a mainstream market because of like the games. Mm-hmm. It was like either it's more the casual game. Like people bought Cookie Mama and Pokemon, but that's because people grew up with Pokemon. So and Mario. So those games are going to obviously sell more on a console like that.
Which is an advantage Nintendo does have compared to Sony and stuff, because Sony ditches their franchises every generation.
So that's gonna definitely help them, but from a nerd perspective, I'm pretty sure something like the iPod, like I said, the iPod that has everything is probably going to not necessarily outsell it in the long run, but I think initial sales, like if Apple's released like a new iPod, like the fourth generation iPod Touch and like iPhone 4 or whatever for the Verizon on the same day as Nintendo's, I think you might see a nice fluctuation. There's a chance that the Nintendo DS might win, but if they're priced the same, and one offers more features than the other, I think people would rather buy the iPod Touch.
Can I make you a bet right now, though?
Yes.
The 3DS will sell more units at launch than any other handheld device in history.
Only because of its reception in Japan.
Exactly.
No. In America as well.
I will take you up on that bet.
I would love to take you up on that bet, but...
Because you want... Let's not talk about the games itself or the gaming system. Let's look at where we are in our point in history, and let's look at our economy. Yes, it will sell a lot during the holiday season.
I thought the economy was going to hurt the game industry a lot, and I don't think the economy has killed the game. I mean,
but
we've seen
it kill the handheld industry.
I don't think it will kill the handheld.
No. In terms of what their parents buy their kids, like they say, oh well, you already have a DS. I don't have the money to pay for another DS for you. Why do you need another DS when most of these games, the only difference is going to be the 3D capability? Now, 3D in itself is another topic that I would like.
Or
to discuss.
Just the fact that you have a DS, but you want the 3DS and it costs the same price as an iPod Touch. You don't have an MP3 player, so why don't you give this iPod Touch instead?
Exactly.
I think we'll have to wait and see. I still think the 3DS is going to do better.
I would love to believe the same as you that 3DS will dominate, because I want 3DS to dominate. But I think I agree with Mike with the sales, how it's going right now. The 3DS in Japan, it's going to do gangbusters because Japan buys anything
Japan
Nintendo
hates,
or
yeah, and
Sony.
Japan doesn't like their well, they like
but in America.
Game, but
in America,
there.
If it's not priced at affordable rate, because if it doesn't hit that $200 under price point in America, it's not going to sell.
Yeah,
I mean, you have your initial buyers there, because every country has them. But it'll be like the PS3. You have those people who bought the $600 version with all the features and stuff. But
PS3 proved itself in the end.
But PS3 sales didn't get better until they start dropping the price to something that more people were willing to pay for.
I agree, Luciano. What's your opinion?
I really want the 3DS to do well, and if it was slightly lower in price, I think it would.
We don't know the exact American price yet, though.
Yeah,
but you can't tell me it's going to be something better than an iPod.
It's going to be. It's probably. I think it's going to be in the range of $250 to $230.
That's too much.
That is way too much. Like I said, I would rather buy. If I had a kid, I'd rather buy my iPod Touch, because I know he'd get more out of it. All you're really getting with the 3DS is what was on the PSP, what was on iPod Touch, and just on 3D. You're getting all these features that were added on over time, because when DS first came out, there's nothing like it. A touchscreen handheld.
I know.
That was amazing.
It was totally, but 3D, it dominates the 3D market still, and I think if the 3D trend continues like it does, that's still going to be a major factor.
The 3D trend, most of my friends don't care for 3D.
Kids like shiny 3D. The 3D is going to be cool, Nate. All right,
I mean, it gets me cool, but
3D still gives you headaches. I've already heard reports that the 3DS still gives headaches. It's like it's not doesn't happen as fast as a regular 3D glass.
I don't care. I'll see what happens.
That's not going to change because the way that it works with the 3DS is it has this. I mean, I'm sure you've looked at this up with the slits in the screen.
Right.
And it's pretty much screwing. It's not screwing up your eyes, but it's playing tricks on your eyes. And
right.
And,
I know.
And you're not gonna. It's not like the Virtua Boy. It's not gonna burn your eyes out of your sockets. But it's still going to give you some eye problems. I mean, that's going to be an issue too. Some parents are going to have a lot of concerns until people say that it's okay to have and okay to play with.
Well, that's with anything. They had that with the Wii.
Already, like you had to be 12 enough to play a 3DS or something like that.
I haven't heard.
I think I heard that somewhere. Because of the eye problem, because your eyes aren't fully developed, you're like 7 or something like that. So it's like so that's already cutting your market. From like who?
I don't know. I looked it up. There's nothing on that.
Nothing on it. Okay, but no. That was rumored though, because 3D on the eyes of little kids is very good. I know that for a fact.
All right. Well, let's see what our time is.
Well, we can still. I mean, if you want to get into this 3D topic, I mean that's an interesting one.
The 3D in terms of its effect on the or 3D in the market right now, or 3D on the effect of the selling point of the.
In general, I mean, you can look at both sides.
Okay, I think 3D, this is my entire opinion on 3D. 3D is in the movie industry has been this kind of cool little feature that's just kind of been thrown into movies and people appreciate and it looks cool. I think that 3D on the PS3, no one is going to really care about because no one wants to spend the money on that kind of a TV. I think 3D on the DS is going to... It's not going to be the main selling point, but it's going to be a cool selling point because, one, this is the first time in history that people are directly developing for a 3D platform, so the game is being developed, at least hopefully, with the intent in mind that the 3D will be part of their game. So I think we're going to get more quality 3D than we've seen with most things in the past, and I think that's going to make it a really cool experience and something that we haven't really seen in the 3D realm before because it's going to be developers developing games with the intent of 3D in mind.
But I think you kind of said yourself, it's built, 3D's built in. And what do you get in the theater? You have 3D screens that are already built in. The glasses come with it. You have to buy glasses. No one's buying a 3D TV and expecting to have to put on glasses for their next TV show.
Right.
It's, this is cool in the theater because it's the environment. The theater environment makes 3D a lot more cooler than what it seems. And I do agree that 3DS... in concept sounds really awesome, but also from the technology you're using, you have to look at it in a very specific way. You can't really like lean like you do with your DS right now. You can't just sit lay back and play it. You gotta like either have it at a specific angle or it's not gonna work. So that's gonna cause neck problems if you're playing for more than like 20 minutes because you sit there looking straight at the screen at an angle so you get the full effect of the 3D.
Do we know that you...
No, it's the technology, because this technology...
You definitely have to look straight up, yeah.
Yeah, just peripheral. It's like, there's a certain... There's like, Nintendo's worked on it, make it a little bit wider, because nobody's eyesight is exactly the same, and no one's eye span is exactly the same. So it makes a flexibility room, but that's still the chance of the fact that you can't, like... You're not gonna be playing it laying upside down in your bed or anything, because... Then you have to hold up in a certain way, and your head's going to hurt, and everything is going to end up bad. But
that's probably when people are going to turn the 3D off.
Yes, that's when people turn 3D off, and then it's just
DS.
It's just a regular DS.
I don't know. I love my DS.
Like I said,
that's my favorite system of this generation. That
works. That's working well in the theaters because of the atmosphere in it, and it kind of hasn't been.
We're kind of on a personal level.
We were kind of dry on 3D movies for like the past decade. It wasn't until like 2008 stuff we started getting over 3D movies.
Right, and is this...
Have any of you seen Jackass 3D yet?
No, I plan on seeing it this weekend.
If you watch it, I mean, we can come back to this next week when we start talking about this, but I thought it was a very good use of 3D because it wasn't... See, this is where I would like 3D to go. Because it wasn't like, pow, this is in your face, oh, this is 3D, and just like shoving things in your face.
Yeah, Zach, that's what I like about 3D.
That's what I think the 3DS is going to do, though. It's not going to be shoving things in your face. They're going to make it nice.
I know. I mean, I'm not doubting the 3DS in terms of its 3D capabilities. If we're going back to talking about the 3DS in terms of selling point and how much I need this thing, with a price point of $200 to $250, right?
You don't need it. That's the you don't need it. It's which, an entertainment system.
We're in times where we can't buy things that we don't need. We really can't. I would like to. I mean, I'm sure every parent would love to buy.
They put it like this: if the DS was to come out, 3DS was to come out this Christmas, and Johnny had an iPod Touch or 3DS, and both were December prices, I keep coming back to this argument because I find it to be so true. I'm pretty sure the parents are going to buy the iPod Touch because they see the value in iPod Touch because they can do all this other stuff. So, I have to get Johnny that MP3 player. I have to give him a new camera.
I think we've reached the consensus on this topic, though. I have my point. You guys have your point. We're not. Yeah. It's going in circles now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was a good podcast.
Because I was on it.
Yeah, that's it.
Mike, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Anyways, I think we
all right. Well, that was a good first strike. We'll catch you next week, strikers.
Adios, peoples.
That was clever.
See you guys next week.
3DS Bye. For the win.
Bounce chicka wow.
I just shut the door.
Or we can do it as an ending.
We have a lot of content. Mike, if you don't turn off
fucking Why? Off,
I'm kicking you from the
Why would you kick me from the
podcast. You're not gonna be on the podcast if you keep
playing Call of Duty. Because I'm playing Call of Duty.
Because you can't be playing Call of Duty into the podcast. It's
how do you play Minecraft into the podcast?
Because Minecraft is senseless fun, Call of Duty is killing people, and we do not condone killing people.
I'm just questioning. So, it's okay that you're playing Minecraft, but...
I'm not playing Minecraft!
Well, okay. Not
theoretically speaking, you haven't
You will be later.
And you will be later. No, actually, he'll be playing Kirby.
No, I won't.
The sacrifice.
Yes, I will, but that's after the podcast!